yeah, I'm burning out my tongue,
yeah,
I'm burning out my tongue.
You know, the same way God can lay claim on you today, you can also lay claim on God. You can say, He is my God. Hallelujah. He told Mary, say, touch me no longer, for now I ascend unto my Father and your Father. Hallelujah. Unto my God and your God. The things we have been studying, Jesus himself said, he said, the days are coming that you will pray to the Father, and I will not tell you, hold on. I will not tell you that, okay, I will speak to the Father for you, for the Father now loveth you. That will mean Jesus himself ceases to be your intermediary to God. Joint heirs with Christ. That's why it says in John 14:12, verily, verily, I say unto you, the works that I do, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall do also. Sorry, what am I going to say? And what? Greater works. Greater. Why? Because you have been placed like joint heirs. I am saying Jesus is like, Jesus is no more valuable than God than you. You are joint heirs. Sorry. Who have 1,000 naira or 500? Just give me any good currency over there. Thank you. I'll give you back, don't worry. Okay, thank you, sir. Okay. For instance, let's assume they sell this laptop for 1,000 naira. And you go to the market. And you drop 1,000 to in Komuta village, and you took this thing home. Which one is more important? The laptop or the 1,000? Which one is more valuable? Which one carries more weight? The laptop or the 1,000 naira? Okay, which one, if we are to weigh both in on a scale balance, which one will weigh more, the laptop or the 1,000 naira? Hallelujah. What is the price that God paid for our redemption? The blood of Jesus. Jesus himself. So right now, you and Christ, who is more valuable to God? Now you can't answer again. Say heresy. Say, I am as valuable to God as Christ. Oh! Hallelujah. Say, God place value on me. The church is a place to baptize you with this mindset. That's what we do in church. Valuable to him. No, I love somebody that can. I just want you to just like compose some from all my words. You understand? Thank you, Lord. I am valuable to God.
I am valuable to God. I am valuable to God.
He placed value on you. Woo!
Thank you.
For he sent his son to die for you.
I am valuable to God.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. You are valuable to God. He that spared not his own son, but freely gave him up for us all. To bring many sons to glory, he made the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Jesus was not the end point. His resurrection was not just the end point of the Father. He wants you to come to glory. Hallelujah. And trust me, call to glory is not when somebody died. Call to glory is salvation. Call to glory is salvation. Hallelujah. Say Christ in me.
Christ in me.
He said, moreover, those whom he predestinated, he also what? He called. Those he called, he what? He justified. And the people he justified, he glorified. Past tense. He didn't say he will glorify. Say, I am glorified in God. No, he said in John 17, he said, the glory that I had with you, I am not going with it. Eh? Say that they may have it. And when he rose from the dead on Pentecost, hallelujah, that glory descended. It has not left and it will not leave. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
I am valuable to God. He lives inside of me. Yeah.
I am valuable to God.
Thank you, Lord.
Say I'm valuable.
I am valuable to God. For he lives inside of me.
Yeah, so
I am valuable to God.
If your guy is angry with you, your husband is angry with you, at least know that somebody is for you. When it looks like everything is just against you, you have not been perfect in this. This one person looks like, okay, this one is saying you are not fine enough. This one is saying someone has his own issues with you. Just know you are valuable to somebody. You are. You are valuable. Last week, we looked at the scriptures. We saw that he said the whole heaven is his throne. Throne. But you are his what? Temple. Temple and throne. Where does he live? In his temple. In you. So when he said in Ephesians 5, that husband loves your wife as Christ loved the church and he gave himself for it that he might what? Sanctify it and make it pure without spot, without wrinkle. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Who takes care of the house? The owner. Hallelujah. He takes care of you. He takes care of you. He wakes up every morning to take care of you. Why? You are his house.
Yes.
You are his house.
Yes.
See, this is not a fable. I'm not trying to just do some mental frenzy. I'm not trying to be touche with words. I can remove this tie, remove the white, remove everything. But know that you are valuable to God. Know that you are valuable. That is reality. Is just the thing about me. I know how to drill things into people. See, that is reality. It's true. Say this body is his temple. He said it. So you treat yourself as valuable as the blood of Jesus. For that was the price I was paid to redeem you.
Oh, you are valuable to God. You are valuable to God. He lives inside of you. Yeah, you are valuable to God.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Sir, can I have a seat, sir? Thank you. Keep playing. Sing the song with me.
This is my desire.
Just sit down, everybody.
To worship you.
Yeah, yeah.
Me. All that I have within.
With your thoughts, you give him your thinking. Learn of me. Learn of me. You are not saying I give God like because he is the one that gave himself for you, but in response, you give him your mind. You think about what he has done for you. Oh, you know, he said in Isaiah 50 verse 1. Say, who has believed our report? For the man that believes the report of God, the power of God will be revealed. That's what he said. And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? It's like tautology. The man that believes the report unveils the power of God. All that God has done for you simply needs your mind. Align your mind with it, and you will see it in like a drama. You will do things you'll be scared of. You say, so this is me. Put these things always in your thoughts, in your thinking. I give you my heart. I give you my thinking. I give you my thinking. During the week, I meditate on the things of God. Not just when I'm praying, not just when I'm in church. I think about what you have done for me. I think about the meaning of redemption, sanctification, the spirit. Ministry, I meditate on it. I meditate on healing others. I meditate on it. But like I told you in that series, if you don't think about it, you are denying God. You are just denying. It's like you are saying no to God. What God has done for you, when you don't meditate on it, when you don't keep your mind full of it, you are denying his power. You are pushing him out. Of course, I'm not saying you can go. I'm saying you are pushing him out of your thinking. And you won't, like, it will lead to depreciation. But come on, that is not your story. Hallelujah. You are the one that meditates on the things of God. You are the one. All week. Whether you are the cashier, you're on the street, you're in the kitchen, you're in the toilet. Hallelujah. Some words are in your mouth. For his thoughts are in your mind. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I give you my soul. I live for you, yeah.
I live for you, alone.
Every step I take.
Every step that I take.
Every move I make.
Every moment I'm away.
I've
your way in me.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That was really for somebody. I got that someone. She was singing in the spirit. Somebody is there. You need to realign yourself to the purpose of God. You only desire once in a while. It's time to desire every day. Desire every day. Desire it every day. That thing you desire once in the week, is time for you to desire it every day. It's for somebody. Yes, I know you want to do a lot for me, but you desire it too little. Make it daily. I've told you, the more, the better. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Good morning, everybody. How was your week? How was last week? Okay. Thank you. Pick your scriptures. Let's do... thanks to all those that came from afar. Braleko, I welcome you again. Thanks. Thanks. So, what have we been studying? Don't leave your code drama there, please. Take her out of the place. Thank you. What were we studying? Are you sure? Okay, before, I didn't think that would be my focus this morning. Amen. If you look at the book of the preacher, I told you I don't know how to pronounce that thing. How do you pronounce it? Ecclesia. Chai. In oral pronunciation, how many syllables are there? Yes. Ecclesia. Four. Hallelujah. I don't know why that thing loves to twist my tongue. So, okay, in that book, yeah. So, what is the word that is just rampant there? Vanity. Please listen to me today carefully, okay? When you approach life based on your intellect, who remembered, what did I call the, thank God, Ojito was explaining this yesterday, what did I call the meaning of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Who remembered? Self what? So, okay, yes, the other one is God dependence. So, like, is the knowledge of good and evil, is it wrong? What was the wrong thing there? To choose it before what? Life, right? So, that would mean that it's not the tree, it's not evil, okay? The issue is that there is life somewhere. You are desiring to do it yourself. So I said the gospel message is not to believe in yourself. The gospel message is not to believe in man. The gospel message is not to believe in your own ability. The gospel message is to trust in God. Hallelujah. So, when you approach life without life, when you approach life without the consciousness of what God has done for you, the result will be vanity. What Solomon was expressing was the outcry of man without Christ. You know, that guy tried to beat every record he could beat, eh? Like, I didn't even think the king of Saudi has beat his record. Amen. Talk about women, talk about wealth. He said, let us go to the extreme of everything. Yet, what he was looking for, he could not get. Don't worry, I'm coming to my message today. So, when you approach life based on your smartness alone, when you approach life based on your gimmicks, skills, you know, all this to do it sharp, you will get what you are looking for. But at the end of the day, you seem to avoid. Job 14. This is not your portion, but let me read it for you anyway. Job 14, verse 1. You remember those years, Spiro? It's not your portion, but let me read it for you nevertheless. One, two, go, everybody, yes? Man that is born of a woman is of a what? Few days. Full of what? It's not your portion, don't worry. But that was an observation. So, now, in Christ, I'm still like on the seat of that prayer, but I will soon quit it right now. So, in Christ, things have been made available for you. You've got the Spirit of God, you've got the power of God, and then, but you also have responsibility. So, Proverbs 28, you have the Spirit, you have the power of God, but you also have responsibility. I keep saying this, there are responsibilities in Christianity. Just that you don't have the responsibility to keep your Christianity. Amen? They get that? Okay, let me say it in another way. There are clear responsibilities in Christianity, but not the responsibility for you to keep your salvation. That would mean there are things that God wants you to do. There are things that God delights that you do. There are things that God wants you to be master of. There are things that God wants you to service every day. But the only thing you are not permitted to service is what? Your salvation. You don't service that one. Don't pour in oil. Don't pour water. Don't pour anything. Don't pour anything. Amen. You will knock the car. Sorry, it won't knock anyway, but don't pour it. Amen. Praise God. Somebody does that one for you. Praise God. So, Proverbs 28, verse 10. Want to go? What's there? Yes? Are you there? I am reading a very, very, very... It should be 20 what? What did I call it for you? 20 what? I'm looking for 24, verse 10. Proverbs 24, verse 10. Sorry. Want to go? Everybody, yes, sirs? If thou faint in the day of adversity, face somebody. Read that scripture to the person. I know it's not in Christ scripture, but you read it to somebody. Yes, want to go? Face one person, not that one person. Any again, somebody wants to go? Yes. If you faint in the day of adversity, so and Jesus came to tell us that failure is a prayer failure. Prayer failure. Not power failure. Not Jesus' failure. Not anointing failure. Not redemption failure. But prayer failure. Since the day I mentioned that in church, I couldn't recover from it. So Jesus, he didn't say men ought always to preach. He didn't say men ought always to chant the Pauline revelation. Sorry for that. He didn't say men ought always to what is it again? To worship. No, we said we have 72 hours praise and worship. We are tired. He said, he didn't say men ought always to. What else must we do as a Christian? To fast. Fast is even better. It's okay. Drama. I beg. He didn't say men ought always to, thank you. What is it? See that word though. See, focus on the individual word. Men supposed to always pray from Jesus. Ah, no, we're in trouble. If Jesus could say, men ought always to pray. And the way Pastor Jeremy will put the ending part of that place is that he said, when you don't pray, you will give yourself over to what? To a bad or worthless situation. That would mean something that ought not to handle you. The thing will handle you, overturn you. Amen. Praise God. Sorry. Proverbs 24. Okay, we have read verse 10, right? Let's read verse 11. Yes. Verse 12, if thou say, behold, we knew it not, doth in not he that pondereth the heart consider it, and he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it, and shall not he render to every man according to what? So now, don't see that is not like a reward though. See the use of words in that place. Verse 12, focus on it. That would mean if you don't like what you sow in prayer, you will get it. Simple. It's not God that is trying to reward people individually. But what you put in there, you will get. Praise God. You will what? You will get. Please pray for somebody beside you right now. That's all I want to do. Hold somebody beside you, pray for the person. Hold somebody beside you, pray for the person. You are serious with prayer. That's a prayer. You are serious with prayers. Pray the passion of prayer to somebody. That's what I'm saying. pray the passion of prayer into somebody, you are serious with prayers. Why? For what any man puts down in prayer, he will see it. He will see it. He will see it. You are serious with prayers. That failure is a prayer failure, not God failure. As you are praying, if you have words, it's not out of place to give it. Oh, glory to God. Prayer failure, not power failure. Prayer failure, not Jesus' failure. Prayer failure, not the failure of the gift of the Spirit. When you don't pray, situations that you are more than will make a mess of you. You pray. Men supposed to pray always. Men supposed to always pray. That will mean, I have told you in this church, that will mean it's time for us not to be counting the number of hours that we pray every day. It's time for you to be counting the number of hours that you didn't pray. That will mean your default should be prayers. You are alone somewhere by mistake, 5 minutes, you are praying. I pray for you that your default is prayers. That you will not give in to a worthless situation. Things that you are more than will not make a mess of you, will not make a mockery of your faith. Men supposed to pray always. Men supposed to pray always. Men supposed to pray always, brethren. Brethren, men supposed to pray always. Men supposed to pray always. Oh, glory to God. Men supposed to pray always. Men supposed to pray always. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen, amen. Amen, amen. Say, I give myself to prayers. Say, I give myself to prayers. Say, I am spontaneous in prayers. Say, I don't allow worthless things to make a mockery of me. Say, I deal with situations even before they appear. Say, I am a man of prayers, not only for myself, but for my neighbor. Say, I am a man of prayer. Say, I always get results in prayer. Say, God has a covenant with me under which my prayer cannot be refused. Hallelujah. If you want to know, understand how God can never refuse your prayer, get the Elias phrase. Praise God. I think we concluded that yesterday. So today, what we did last Sunday, our spirit and our gift, part two. Our spirit and our gift. Ooh, glory to God. Hallelujah. I've said it's time for us in Christianity. Let's stop calling it the spirit. Let's stop calling it a spirit. Let's know that it's who? Our spirit. Amen. Our spirit. No, it's so funny that that would mean the spirit of God cannot walk any Jesus. That would mean the spirit of God cannot walk any of the acts of power without the interference of a man. You get that? Genesis 1, 26. Our spirit and our gift, part two. I will be fast today. Please, just open. You have two things to be looking at, your Bible and your notepad. And I will be very fast today as I'm calling the scripture. No, I have a privilege over here of this thing. So as I'm calling the scripture, I'm reading, I'm not waiting for you, but try and be fast, okay? Genesis 1:26, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Amen. Praise God. So I said, God did all he did in his son so that you can be his own. God did all he did in his son. Everything he did, the length and breadth of redemption, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his going to hell, his ascending out of hell into heaven, so that you can be his own. You are the end point of the game of God. You are the checkmate of God. Hallelujah. You are his last card. You are his checkmate. All he did so that you can be his own. So that he can dwell in you. So that he can live in you. So that he can tabernacle in you conveniently. Hallelujah. So the man in the image of God is man with the spirit of Christ. When he was saying in Genesis 1:27 that I want to make man in my image, the man in the image of God is that man with the spirit of Christ. So the man with the spirit is the man at the destination of God. Are you with me, brethren? The man with the Holy Ghost is the man that it is at the destination of God. Amen? So we know that in Genesis, man refused to enter into that rest, and a void was left in man. I wish I would find a day and come and talk about all the religions of the world. What do you think is the driver behind all the plenty religions that we have? Because I told you last week, I said we don't even have sufficient evidence from the scripture that a demon, and I told you guys, I said if you have evidence, I don't know if I said it clearly that way, if you have evidence, even forward it to me. Like, we don't have sufficient evidence in the scripture that a demon can dwell in the spirit of a man. Demons can influence the mind. Demons can influence the body. But the spirit is the house of God, is the container for God. So, once a man without the spirit, he will have a void to fill up. Are you with me? He will have a void to fill up. That is the mother of all the religions we have. Man's effort to fill up that void is for the spirit. Man in search for rest outside Christ is religion. What's religion? You are looking for God outside God's way of looking for him. Amen? No, he gave you a way to look for him. So when you look for him outside that way, you are battling religions. Funny enough, even some people, even not even real religion, you will see some heavy smokers. I look at them. They are looking for something. Amen. No, there is difference between smoking for pleasure and just smoking for, I don't know, like you are really flaring. You know, Pastor DK said that some people God should have just given them a shimley on their head. Not even that. So as they are smoking, it's just coming out. An exhaust pipe. So, like, even Solomon in his book expressed the same, but check John 14. Religions, perversions, but rest is only found in Christ. Because in Christ is when and where man received the Spirit. Amen? So, the guise of the religion that you are in, rest is only in Christ, because in Christ, that void will be filled. Amen? That void, because when he said in Genesis 1:27, let us make man in whose image? Our image. So until you are in that image, you are not complete. Something is missing. So the man that is not born again, walking up and down the street, is an half man. Something is missing. Because yes, now we have man, spirit, soul, and body, but the spirit of a man needs to get married. Amen? Hallelujah? Needs to be joined to the spirit of God to make then a complete man. So that space is for God alone. Praise God. I don't think any demon can fit in there. Because if a demon can stay there, I think therefore the man might be irredeemable. And you can pursue a demon from that place. Maybe they can pursue the spirit from us too. Selah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay, so John 14:16. Let's flow today. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you for how long? Forever. Now, I will pray the Father there. Of course, it's not talking about prayer points. It's not talking about I will makuri what? See that, right? It's not saying I will fast to the Father. No, I will pray the Father means I will please the Father. It means I will supply what the Father requires. It means whatsoever will be required for man to receive the Spirit, I will give it. Are you with me, brethren? Are you with me? I will please the Father. Matthew 26. And how will Jesus please the Father? Jesus will please the Father by fulfilling scriptures. I really want to dig down back into the Old Testament scriptures today. Like, you to please the Father is to fulfill scripture. To fulfill what the scripture has said about him. If you check Matthew 26, let me just read from 48. Now, he that betrayed him gave him a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast. 49. And forthwith he came to Jesus. Open your Bible, everybody. Forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. Verse 50. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? And they said, and they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. 51. And behold, one of them, which were with Jesus, stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Serious. 52. Then said Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword into this place, for all that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Verse 53, I read to 53, you read 54 for me. Thinkest thou that I cannot pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? 54, want to go, brethren, yes? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled? Hallelujah. That thus it must be. So, why did Jesus come? To what? Fulfill scripture. So when he is saying in Matthew 5 verse 17, think not that I have come to destroy the law. I have not come to destroy, but to fulfill. How did he fulfill? He died. That would mean all scripture said about him. He's not saying fulfill scripture. He's not saying I will fulfill scripture so that you can fulfill scripture. No. He's saying, Hebrews 10 says, I come in the volume of what? The book. It is written of me. Dwell to. So, it's not that the Father told Jesus something secretly, maybe in heaven or in the Milky Way or somewhere. He just told him that, Jesus, this is what we do. No. Jesus is fulfilling. Jesus is, how Jesus will please the Father is by him fulfilling the prophecies of the scripture. Dwell to. He studied the scripture and he fulfilled them. Joel 2:28. And it shall come to pass. Everybody, are you there? Open your Bible. Andrew. Joel is actually after Exodus. Are you there? Between, just after Deuteronomy, right? In the last book of Moses. So Joel 2:28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon how many flesh? All flesh. Rejoice. That's not your Bible. You got the Bible. Yes. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Now, see the initial part of that verse. It shall come to pass afterward. Afterwards, go back higher to verse 18. What must happen before the Spirit can be given? Then will the Lord be jealous for his hand, that is verse 18, and pity his people, verse 19. Yet the Lord will answer and say unto his people, behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and you shall be satisfied therewith, and I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen. Praise God. Verse 20, but I will remove far off from you. Sir, are you reading? Okay. I will remove far off from you the northern army, and will drive him into a land barren, amen, and desolate, with his face towards the east sea, and his inner part towards the uttermost sea, and his stink shall come up, and his ill savour shall come up, because he hath done great things. 21, fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do what? Great things. Again, let's do 21 again, yes. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do what? Let's see, 22. Be not afraid, you beasts of the field, for the pastors of the wilderness do spring, for the tree beareth a fruit, the fig tree and the vine do you their strength. 23. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he had given you the former rain moderately. He will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. See, don't remanize this typology, so C24. And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow with wine and oil. 25. And I will restore to you the years that the locusts had eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar, and the palmerworm, the great army which I have sent among you. 26. And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God that has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. 27. And you shall know that I am in the midst of where? Israel. And that I am the Lord your God, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. Then he now say in 28, and it shall come to pass after I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. 29. And upon the servants and upon the handmaid in those days will I pour my spirit. Verse 30, are you with me? And I will show great wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. 31, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord. Which day is that? 2032. Everybody want to go, yes? And it shall come to pass, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be, for in Mount Zion in Jerusalem shall be deliverance. And the Lord has said, remnant of the hallelujah. What is he talking about? What is he talking about? What is deliverance there? Salvation. So, what must happen before the Spirit can be given? Let's see what Peter said about this in Acts 2, right? Acts 2. Verse what? Find the verse for me. When Peter quoted this same place, okay, go to verse 22. No, Peter just quoted the same scripture in Acts 2. You know, he stopped in 21. Let me read from 21. And it shall come to pass, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. 22. Ye men of Israel, hear the words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. 23, everybody want to go? Again, 23, please read loud. In being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified. 24, whom God has raised, having loosed. Okay, stop. Go back to Ezekiel. So, sins must be paid for. When you are seeing, that's why all those things you are seeing there, although it looks like he was talking about how Israel will return back from captivity, but in reality, he was speaking about the death and resurrection of Jesus. I will show you now. Ezekiel 36. So, some restoration must be done before the Spirit can be given, right? Some type is like a type of restoration must be done. Ezekiel 36:25. Then will I sprinkle what? clean water upon you and you shall be clean. Like, this is serious. It's not about you. It's not about how dirty you are. He said, when I sprinkle down my own water on you, wallahi, you'll be clean. Hallelujah. That is, no matter how defiled you think you are, God said, when you guys receive my water, you shall be clean. Amen. Praise God. Okay, let's keep reading. Verse 25. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. So therefore, any smart guy that is listening to this prophecy, what should he say? No, after all this one, the prayer will still come again. Say, purify yourself, cleanse yourself, repent, mourn, weep. But any smart man that is around when this guy is saying this, what should he say? And now, let God sprinkle the water now. Don't you understand? When God sprinkles his own water on you, what will happen? You will be clean. I will not have to do anything. That's grace. But when you try to purify yourself, you keep repeating it every Sunday, every New Year resolution, every new week resolution, every new one. Which one do you have again? Easter. Okay, Easter is coming. It's next week, sir. So go to verse 26. A new heart also will I give you, right? And a new spirit will I put within you. I will take, Randy, are you looking at the Bible? Are you looking at the Bible? Okay. And I will take, no, my eyes goes to and fro. Everybody must follow. Amen. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. I told you, salvation is a self-commitment. I will, I will, I will. What God has promised, he will do. Okay, good. Let's go to 27. And I will put my spirit within you. Can you see? No, it's more like God is just saying, just stand on the spot. Don't worry. I will sprinkle water upon you, Shara. Just stay there. Don't go. I'm not done. I will cleanse you from all. Just stay there. Amen. Don't wonder. Don't look for other ways. That's why he said in Matthew 11:27, he said, no man can know the Father, save the Son, and to whoever the Son shall reveal him. Therefore, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will what? Give you rest. That will mean everything that you think you are laboring for, you just come to me. Everything will be supplied. Praise God. In Christ, all needs are supplied. Let's flow 28. And you shall dwell in the land, and I will give that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be 29. I will also save you from all your uncleanness. Woo! And I will call for the corn, I will increase it, and lay no more famine upon you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it looks like man must first be washed, then he will be given the spirit. Let's see it. Oh, let me ask this way. Is it that God, be intelligent, so, is it that God washed you when you are now clean? Then he gave you the spirit. Or God gave you the spirit by washing you. Or God washed you by giving the spirit. Let me say it again. Is it that God first look at, okay, this is rejoice, beta with hypo, what is area, no, multi-active. Beta, clean, she's clean, then give her the spirit. Or God used to kill two men, cleanse her by giving her the spirit. Let me say it again. If you go to an unbeliever right now to preach, is it that God will first now, as you preach, when he believes, God will wash him, go check. Is he fine? Turn, 360. Remain small, wash again. Wow. Then later, he gives the spirit. Or God will just look at the guy like that, just give the spirit. Wah! Which one? Okay, let's see if we can answer that intelligently from the scripture. Because it looks like none of the above, really. Who did Jesus wash? Who bore our sin? Huh? Who bore our sin? So, washing sins of Jesus will mean what? 2 Corinthians 5:21 now. We mean what? Huh? Of course, that's resurrection. So that you can receive the Spirit. So, the cleansing was done for you in Christ. Did God cleanse us? Yes. How? Christ. Hallelujah. Say, I am clean. So, okay, where are your sins? Is it with you? No. Christ took them, right? So, by his resurrection, he washed Christ clean. Are you with me? So, in washing Christ clean, you are clean. Okay. John 12. So, it's like Jesus' duty is to take care of your sins. Anything sin, don't go there. It is Jesus' duty. Sabuki, are you with me? Okay, so Jesus' duty is to take care of your sin. The duty of man is to receive what? The Spirit. Can you see your phone receive the Spirit? Okay, it's receiving. Huh? Jesus' duty is to take care of your sin, while your own duty is to receive what? The Spirit. Why must I explain like this? So that you not see cleansing in the Bible, and you are focusing on yourself. The cleansing was done for you. Because if when he said, I will, you know that word was so definite. Say, when I cleanse you, you will be clean. Yeah? You look like yourself, yeah? My God, where is the cleanness? He said, I will purify you from all your idols. That would mean, is that he has done all or he did none, right? So, you don't look as that cleansing in yourself. Your cleansing is the resurrection of Jesus. Praise God. Your own duty is to receive what? The Spirit. I will explain right now. Go to John 12, 23. And Jesus, please open all scripture. I just have 30 more minutes. I'm not taking long in this like other series. So, just flow with me and let's get this done. John 12, 23. And Jesus answered. Imagine somebody just walking in when, as I'm just saying, God was Jesus. He says, my God. Sorry. The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Go to verse 27. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause, I came unto this hour. 28. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Now, 29. The people therefore that stood by heard it and said, it thundered. Imagine. Elijah, guys. Oh, and then just spoke to him. 30. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sake. 31. Want to go, everybody? Yes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. 32. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all unto me. All what will he draw? All what? How was the judgment? The word men there is how? It's italicized, right? So, on the cross, what did Jesus draw to himself? It's not all men. I know we have used that thing to sing, but it's not like he was drawing all men to him on the cross. No. See the subject of that verse. 31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men. Men was not in the originals. Unto me, all what on the cross, all our judgment was drawn to who? Jesus. So all that your filthiness was extracted, amen. Even before you are born, it was already extracted and laid on who? Jesus. For he was made what? Sin for us. So now, so you can understand what he's saying. 33. Want to go, everybody? This is said, signifying what death he should die. So, in his death, he took your sins. Praise God. Say, my sins are taken. Say, he took it away. Say with me. Say when you give take away in the party. Say when you give take away in the party, you don't see it again. Say my sins. I don't see it again. Amen. Say because Jesus did take away. Hallelujah. Say it is taken away. Say taken away. Take away. If that is the one you understand, if. Amen. John 3. Look at this. It's a long read. Randall. Anytime you don't come to church for 2 weeks, when you now come, you now look like you're just coming from the devil or something. So I will now be begging you to be open Bible. Open the Bible. Open. You don't get tired. I need a chief whip in this church. A chief whip that will be monitoring. Hallelujah. You see, you're under grace. No, it is not grace. When I'm preaching, that one is not grace. Amen. John 3, open. Long read. Let's take this together from, okay, I'll read verse. Just follow me. There was a man of the Pharisees named Bar Nico, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles except God is with him. Verse 3, Jesus answered and said, Very, very, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot what? Except a man is born again, he cannot what? Okay, I've told you, don't put rhema where there is no rhema. Verse 4, Nico just asks, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb? That would mean, Nico was asking for us the explanation. These guys, I will send you out. Nico was asking for the explanation of what he said. Abby, are you with me, brethren? Bros, are you with me, sir? Good. So, Jesus told Bar Nico that if you are not born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. So Jesus was about to use the same, another set of words to say the same thing. Let's read verse 5 for everybody together. I want to go. Very, very, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot what? To see the kingdom of God and to enter the kingdom of God, are they different? No. Also, to be born again and to be born of water and the Spirit, are they different? No. Another play of words to say the same thing. Say, I'm born again. Say, I'm born of the Spirit. It means today, I have entered the kingdom of God. Amen. I'm not saying there's no heaven, no amen. I'm just saying you are already seated with Christ. Praise God. Verse 6. Yes, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Verse 7, marvel not, as I say unto you, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth. You hear the sound thereof, but you cannot tell where it cometh or where it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the... Now, verse 9. Nicodemus answered and said, how can these things be? Please, what is the difference between Nico's question in verse 9 and verse 4? Intelligent English linguistica. What do they call them? What's the difference? Verse 4 and verse 9. Those two questions. It's the same thing too. Think now. Okay, what is the question in verse 4? Yes. How can a man... But verse 9 is not saying, how can... That will mean, okay. Verse 4 looks like more like, okay, I don't understand at all. What are you saying? Explain to me. Verse 9 is now, okay. How is it going to happen? How are we going to make this happen? So now, I have told you, don't separate that, like I was guilty of that. I hope someone is with the guy outside. Don't separate the initial part of that John 3 from the latter part. They are saying the same thing. So Nico is saying, how can a man now be born again? How can he be born of the Spirit? What must happen before this born of everything? Okay, verse 10. Ooh, amen, amen. Are you there? Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of... What am I reading? Verse 5. Okay, go to verse 10. Okay, Jesus answered. You know, Jesus first gave him something. Say, are thou a master of Israel? And you didn't know these things. 11. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we know, and we testify what we have seen. You guys, you are not receiving a witness. Okay, verse 12.
If I have told you earthly things, that was the shame. You know, some people say that Jesus doesn't act, Jesus act people. Say, if I have told you earthly things and you don't believe, how can you believe if I tell you of how I will enter heaven? Amen. You can just say, I surrender. Amen. So, verse 13. Now, pay attention. And no man, you know, I think Jesus is proud. And no man, you know, you didn't hear that, right? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that come down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. He just told him, go, see, I am the, what I'm about to tell you, see, I am, this is me. I am the only one that has been there and here. So take it. Verse 14, everybody want to go. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so, what started verse 15? That, stop. That we mean, whatsoever will happen from verse 15, 16, John 3, 16, everything, is because of verse what? 14. Read verse 14 again. Want to go, brethren? Yes. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. What is he doing on the cross? Was he playing there? Was he doing? Is there any play they do on the cross? I don't think there's any. Verse 15, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have eternal life. Verse 16, who wants to go, everybody? For God so loved the world, and he gave, stop. He gave his Son. How? How? Where? Verse 14. Amen. How did he give Jesus? Verse what? 14. He gave him to die for you on the cross. So the giving is not like just take. No, that's not the giving. The giving, remember Romans 8, 30, what? To he that spared not his own son, but gave him out up for us all. So that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So before man can receive the Spirit, before man can be born again, before man can be born of the Spirit, what must happen? What is the requirement? Jesus must what? He must be raised up, right? He must die, and he must be raised from the dead. So he must have paid that awful price and be justified. So write this down. The resurrection to Jesus is that he came out of hell. Okay? Hold on. Write that down. So the resurrection to Jesus is that he came out of hell, but the resurrection to you is that you receive the Spirit. To Jesus, resurrection was him coming out of hell, but to the believer, what is our resurrection story? What is our reality? We what? Receive the Spirit. Acts 10:38. Am I so close? Okay, I think I'm close. I'm close to start closing. That's another 20 minutes. Acts 10:38. Our God, no, we call him Jesus Christ, right? Jesus Christ. But see Acts 10:38. Our God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So Jesus was the one that was anointed. He was the only one anointed with the Spirit in the four Gospels. Verse 16. Yes, and that is Matthew 3, verse 16. Hold on. Yes. Matthew 3, 16. Open. Andrew. I will promote you to the front now. Matthew 3, 16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straight away out of the water, and lo, the heavens. You know, the type of people that say, Pastor, give us the key points. Like, what is the cocoa of the. What are you saying? Pastor, key points. I remember all those, you have Stone and Cousin, Lambert. But when it is few hours to exam, what do we pick? Key point. Hallelujah. Just say, you have to be sorry for that mass. Just go and pick series.
Answer all these questions in series. Forget the rest. Amen. Key point Christianity. It's not in a divine assembly. This one is, what do you call this one? A Babio Christianity. Okay, Acts 10:38. You know at times, key points can be wrong. Do you remember? Like at times they will just key point you to the 12, amen? So let's get the details. Okay, come on. Matthew 3:16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straight away out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open upon him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. Verse 17. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am. Okay, see the account of Luke 4:14. Try and be fast so I can be fast. Luke 4:14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit unto Galilee. And there went a fame of him. Major Moyo and this verse. I love power. Okay, and there went a fame of him through all the regions round about. Hallelujah. Praise God. And he taught in their synagogue, being glorified of all. So when Jesus was on earth, he did stuff because he was anointed with the Spirit. So he was doing miracles because he was what? Anointed with the Spirit. But could he give the Spirit? No. I didn't say did he. I said could he. Like that same Spirit that he has, can he replicate it? Can he give that same Spirit to someone else? No. That is why we have to have a new covenant. Amen. That is why you have to know that the new covenant did not start when Jesus was born. Amen, brethren. Amen. John 12. Go back to John 12 again. So, but he wants man to be in the same status that he is. That is why, funny enough, imagine Jesus doing ministry and miracles, everything. His ministry lasted how long? 3.5 years. Because he was in a hurry. We are going somewhere. Praise God. He is just saying, guys, this one is not the point. We are going somewhere. I'm going to happen. That's Jesus talking. He was going to happen somewhere, and he happened. John 12, let's see how let's see the prophecy of his happening. John 12:26, rejoice. Open that Bible. You're opening. Know this is the benefit of a small congregation. You can see everywhere. Hallelujah. I think when we increase further than this, what will I do? I will put a sensor on the walls. I'll have a class captain, parole. Ensure everybody is opening. Hallelujah. It's not opening, Brandrew. You're opening. Your face is like, God, why will you save me today? He's coming to save you in 20 minutes time. When I open the door for him, he's outside. Oh, John 12:26. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. Jesus is saying, the capacity I am. It's not, see it as the capacity. What I am capable of, my servant will soon be capable of the same thing. Ooh, hallelujah. John 14. After Jesus toggled the mind of his disciples about a lot of things, verse 8. John 14:8. Philip said unto him, okay, show us the Father, and I will go home and sleep. And verse 9, Jesus said unto him, have I so long been with you, and you have not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And why are you now saying, show me the Father? Verse 10, don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he doeth the works. 11, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Ah, Jesus. Or else, believe me for the very work's sake. Ah, no, you can scatter Trinity from this verse. Let's leave that one for today. You can throw that doctrine seriously. You can pepper that doctrine from these two verses. Not today. Verse 12. Want to go, everybody? Verse 12, yes? Very rarely I say unto you, he that believeth on me. Stop. Who is in Jesus? What did Jesus receive at the baptism? The Spirit. Who did Jesus say is in him? His working name? Father. Put that in mind. Okay, verse 12.
Very, I didn't say there's no father, okay? Verse 12. Very, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than this shall he do. Why? Because I go unto my father. Aha! We will not say, okay, father is in me, I am going to the father. We see that one, we treat that one next month, I think, concerning his son. The series is coming like that. Go to verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he will shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Okay, anyway, let me leave that, all those ones, and focus here. So Jesus was saying, you will be the one that can explain the Father. Because the works that I do, you will what? Do also. Greater than this, you will also do. Amen. I know greater works is speaking in tongues. Amen. I know greater works is, of course, speaking in tongues is greater works. But you know the real greater works? Explaining God. He never did. Epistles. 1 Corinthians 2. Are you with me, brethren? Okay, sorry, if that is too deep, don't worry, just focus on where we are going. Okay, so, okay, John 14, I'm seeing John 14, C 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and I will come unto him and make our abode with him. We make our house with him. Like, he said, we will come our shileti. Sorry, I need to say that in English. Amen. Please give me an English for that. We will pack our load. We will come and encamp with him. God is saying, I will pack all my legions. I will pack all my... What is he saying? I will come and live in your house. Hallelujah. Like, you know, there is a way it looks like. The way, if you can interpret that, you know, Yoruba at times, it's so deep. You can't even explain. Our shileti, you know, it's not whether you like it. It's whether you like it or not. We just come. You know, imagine God forbid, you got a wife, a girl pregnant, amen? I said, God forbid, anyway. So, let's see the rest. You know what will happen, right? They will come and abode with you. One bedroom, they will come. They don't worry. We are fine. They, it's a fine brother. It's a fine brother. Brother Lama. It's very fine. Don't worry. Okay, verse 24. John 14, 24. He that loveth me not, he that loveth me not, keepeth not my saying. The word which he hear is not, which you hear is not mine, but his Father which sent me. 23. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. 26. Want to go, brethren? Yes? But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever. Okay, so Jesus now changed status. So upon the earth, this is what I'm just saying, upon the earth, he was the one with the Holy Ghost, and there was now a promise that both this Holy Ghost and the Father, all of them, they are coming to Shilet here, amen? So you have to start understanding my grammar now. They are coming to abode with you. So upon resurrection, that is Acts 1. So upon resurrection, Jesus now got a change of CV from the one anointed of the Spirit to the one that gives the Spirit. When he rose from the dead, don't forget, to bring many sons to glory, that is Hebrews 2 verse 10 and 11, he made the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. So when he rose from the dead, Jesus was now not just the one with the Spirit. He was no more the one that is doing doing miracles up and down. He's now the one that gives the Spirit. So today, who does miracles up and downtown? Amen. Who? So Jesus upgraded and men too upgraded. Praise God. Flow with me. See this, Acts 1 verse 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but they should wait for the promise of the Father. Why is he calling the promise of the Father? We are going to look at this in very soon. Which saith he, you have heard of me. 25. Yes. For David. Sorry, I'm just
Acts 2:25. Be fast. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. 26. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad, and moreover my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou shalt not leave my soul where? In hell. Neither will you suffer your only one to see corruption. 21. 28. Thou hast made known unto me the ways of life, for thou make me full of joy and thy countenance. Okay. 29. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the Petra David. He is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us until this day. He's simply saying that prophecy could not have been talking about David. Why? He's dead, he's buried, he didn't rise anywhere. But since verse 30, therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he will raise up Christ to sit on his throne. 31. He seen this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left where? In hell, neither his flesh see corruption. 32. This Jesus had God raised up, wherefore we are all witnesses. 33. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he had shed forth this which you now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he seeth himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes your footstool. 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. 37. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in the heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now, 38. Then Peter said unto them, yes, let's together want to go, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift. So, you repent, you, in the name of Jesus, for the world. What is the name of remission? Cancellation. Remission, like, aphesis, right, in Greek. For the cancellation of sins. Hallelujah. So, you believe, so you stop thinking about yourself, that's repentance, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. John 7, be fast. So, he is Christ right now, the giver of the Spirit. So, in direct terms, Jesus' resurrection, I've said it, is that he came out of hell, but your own resurrection is that you receive the Spirit. Because John 7:37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man was, look at your Bible. If any man is thirsty, let him come unto me and drink. 38. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said. No, he's using something. This is just for the serious Bible student. He's interchanging a word. As the scripture has said, and as the Father said. Pay attention to that. Okay, 38. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow what? Rivers of living water. 39. Everybody want to go? Yes. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus. So, Ephesians 2. Ooh. It's cute. Ephesians 2, verse 1. And you are still quickened, who are what? Dead in trespasses and sins. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now walketh in the children of disobedience. Look at the Bible, Ephesians 2, verse 3 now. Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, where he loved us, verse 5, when we are dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. How did he quicken us? Verse 6, and raised up all together, and made us sit together in heavenly places, that in the ages to come, he might shew the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Verse 8 and 9, want to go, brethren? Yes. For by grace, rejoice. I want to go, everybody. Yes. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God. Verse 9, not of works, lest any man should boast. Go to verse 21. in whom all the building, filthy framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. 22 years. In whom you also are builded together for an. Hallelujah. So how do you become raised from the dead? You receive the Spirit. You are dead in sins. Amen. Jesus did everything vitally and legally. Like both, he did it. Don't worry. But you now receive the Spirit as a proof of your own resurrection. He dealt with your sins in Christ. Colossians 3. So I play the keyboard for us. Colossians 3 verse 1. If you then be... Colossians 3 verse 1. Open. This one will make it very clear to you. Help me. You help me when you open your Bible. So Jesus changed status from the one anointed with the Spirit to the one that gives the Spirit. And today you have the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Say, I have the Holy Ghost. Say, it's mine. So Colossians 3 verse 1. This is what I'm saying. He is the proof of your own resurrection. Colossians 3 verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ seated on the right hand of God. Eh? So he's saying that even although you are here, you can seek the things that are above. That's cute. Verse 2. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth. Verse 3. For you are dead and your life is hid. Hallelujah. So the fact that you have the Spirit must be real to you. So how, don't close your Bible, I'm not done. So how are we sure you are raised from the dead? You have the Spirit. If somebody asks you, how are you seated with Christ in heavenly places? What is your answer? I have the Spirit. Acts chapter 13. We say this and I will close from there. Is your Spirit, amen? Is your Spirit. The Spirit cannot go anywhere. If he leaves you, he will be homeless. Don't you know? Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 13. See verse 31. Are you with me, brother? Let me read from verse 29. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, Acts 13, they took him down from the tree and laid him in his sepulcher. 30. And God raised him from the dead. Verse 31. And he was seen many days of them that came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. 32. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the Father, God has fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he raised up Jesus again, as is written in the second Psalm. So, in raising Jesus up, what is that to you? His resurrection is a guarantee that man can receive the Spirit. And the Spirit is now the guarantee that you are resurrected. So, like I said, when we sing the song like "He came from heaven to earth, to show the way I've been," okay, wherever you call it, from the cross, from the grave to the sky. If he ended at the sky, you are going to hell. His journey did not end in the sky, amen. He ended in you. In you. Why was the resurrection that important? It is a condition for the Spirit to be given. So because Jesus is raised from the dead, because your sins has been totally paid for, the Spirit is now your Spirit. So what is the condition for the Spirit to be given? Jesus' resurrection. So what part are you playing right now in keeping the Spirit? Nothing.
Can the Holy Ghost leave you? He will be homeless. So it's not about you. He that is joined to the Lord is what? One spirit. Hallelujah. Say, I'm one spirit with God. So this is what I want you to take home today. You can see that this spirit is very important, Abby. You must have proof. You must have tangible evidence. You must be able to prove it to yourself and to people around you that you have the spirit. See, you have it, oh. You have him. Okay, sorry for using it. You have him, like it or not. But you must be able, because this is your greatest treasure in Christianity. Even Jesus being raised from the dead, what is it to you? You receive spirit. If they ask you, how are you seated with Christ in the place? I have the spirit. So how do I know that I have the spirit? So when I ask, where is the spirit? What will you do? Then you enter 1 Corinthians 12 for him. That's why I call it our spirit and our gifts. Brethren, you must be able to showcase the spirit. For the manifestation of the spirit is given to the man in Christ. Sorry, let me say it that way. For the profit of everybody. Every believer must be able to prove, show it that you have the spirit. The capacity to unveil the spirit has been given. Oh, it has been given unto you. So you have a responsibility to learn how to unveil the spirit. You have the duty to learn how to showcase the spirit. That's where I'm just going today. Like, the spirit is so important, like it's the coronation of everything that God has done for you. It must not just be, do you have the Holy Ghost? Yeah, I have the Holy Ghost. Raise one leg for Jesus. It must not end there. Amen, amen. You must do what people with the spirit does. Say, I can heal the sick. Now, you must also do it with a difference. My God. Because you will not ask me, do we have few healings in the... But do you know that we have very limited healings in the Old Testament? Apart from maybe Exodus, that none of them was sick and of all miracles, of all miracles, anyway. But... I love that, too, amen. Like me, I just see shoe that like once in a blue moon. Once I see that, I just wish this thing just lasts forever, eternally. Hallelujah. Now, see what I'm saying? No, because there are also miracles in the Old Testament. That means there are some peculiarities in these things that we do. That will mean right now you will do miracles to prove that God is good. It's the proof that you have the spirit. You will use never ever separate that thing that they call gift of the spirit and fruit of the spirit. They are the same. The fruit of the spirit is the mindset with which we walk the gift. That will mean love will be the motivation behind miracles. Love will be the motivation behind tongues, behind utterance. There are men right now everywhere doing good. Hallelujah. We can show the character of God in the way we do miracles. Think about it now. When somebody comes to you, a woman comes to you and she said, yeah, she has not have. Imagine, I have one very ridiculous thing. He said, she's looking for the fruit of the womb. Okay. And the man of God said, well, for God to answer you, you have to sponsor my own child out of university. Then God will answer you. That man is operating the spirit of Elijah. It's not even Elijah, it's Elisha himself. You do miracles to prove that God is good. That's your own difference. That's your own peculiarity. You have goodness in you.
they don't have in them. Sorry to say. You have goodness in you. That will mean somebody will not come to you for healing today. See, you must appreciate. I beg you, brethren. You don't prostrate, I will prostrate. I beg you. You must get so acquainted with the gift of the Spirit until when you can operate it effortlessly. That is how you showcase the character of God. Not when you say, I'm coming for my second batch of 40 days fasting. Is there anybody there that is having headache? How will you know? You have spoiled the whole thing. Because number one, you have explained it in a way that nobody can follow you. 40 days. Where will I start from? See how lean I am. In 40, I will be like what? Like the standing microphone. Praise God. That would mean you must walk miracles with grace. Effortlessly. Walk miracles with grace. When it is time to do things, that is not the time for 10-hour tongues. Somebody came to you, I have HIV, you don't tell me to give him post-dated check. Just bring him. Say, do you know God is good? Let's pray together right now. In 2 minutes. Don't exceed that. Show that God is good. Show it. When somebody tells you on WhatsApp, I'm sick, pray for me. Don't say, wait, let me go and get credit. We now do it. I will now call you for 30 minutes. Show that God is good. That's the proof that you have the Spirit. You receive the Spirit freely right now. Give it freely. Amen. Hallelujah. Be on feet, everybody. Let's pray in tongues. Effortlessly walking in the gifts. Effortlessly doing signs and wonders. Effortlessly. We teach people the way, we teach people the character of God, the way we act miracles. Teach it not only when you hold the microphone and you are saying something. In your activities, in your deeds, prove that God is good. Come on, pray somebody. We are walking miracles in this place today. Every need shall be supplied. Nothing will be denied you. We walk miracles. We correct things. We have been upgraded. We have the Spirit of Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Last thing, Bilanda dos, Abadada, Brother De, Shatila, Kozito, Kostege, Bil, Rasege, Pile, Castagata, Yataka, Pale, Rosega, Pale, Mande, Deosa, Lateco, Takero, Segevili, Rosege, Bili, Ketate, Shatele, Kota, Leosa, Lipo, Tateto, La Castaga, Pile, Rocandi, Lima la mala 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 mose pile rose da da da. Jesus Christ, we walk miracles today. Yeah, in the name of Jesus Christ, we walk miracles in your name, in your name, in your name. Pray, tongue somebody. La de do da so da 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 de da da. I want to see believers that will not give post-dated check to heal the sick with grace. Even when the Rapha is here. The Rapha is here. We are Raphas. We are Raphas. We are God's Raphas on the streets. We are God's Rapha on the streets, eh? We are God's Rapha on the streets. We are God's Rapha on the streets. We are God's Rapha on the streets. Oh, we have the Spirit. We can unveil 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 the Spirit. Lipos taka prata da zeto da keto da. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, this week. No, when some of you just chat me up and you tell me the things that happens, I love it. Lots of people have been doing that. Like, some of you, I know that you cannot fast 2 days. But when you, don't mind me, but when you chat me up and you tell me the things you do, awesome. Say, not by power, not by might, but by the Spirit. Plan to do things with grace. Don't limit your knowledge of redemption to just eternal salvation. Effortlessly. All it takes is what? Consciousness. That is why, let your mind be filled with these things. To the extent that nobody needs to come and go. Say, bring your hands. Let's pray together. And you see changes right now. You know, it's not Major Mayor that said that you went to a country and they said they brought one possessed girl. When they are telling him of his story, say, ha, say, this man of God has prayed for him, for her, nothing happened. He said, sir, we came to tell you so that you can go and prepare so that you can now. He said, what? Say, this one. Just shift. So, you know, he's the one that is scared. So he's the one that needs to shift. Amen. Praise God. With grace, okay? I love what Bishop Oyedepo said on one of his sermons. There was one day, he was on his table eating heavy, maybe pounded yam or something. I don't know what that man was eating. And suddenly, one woman just ran in. Daddy, pastor, my son is... He said, the wife just came in. Just, daddy, you are eating. You are spoiled show. And you know Bishop Oyedepo. You almost want to slap. What are you saying? Bring the baby, bring it. Lay hands on the thing. God the result. I went back to his table. You are new. And he said, man of God, you are eating. Hallelujah. Say it with grace. We do things. Hallelujah. Pray for somebody beside you. Somebody at your back. Pray for somebody. Minister that consciousness to somebody this week.
Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Our spirits and our gifts. Our spirits and our gifts. You know, I used to wonder then, like, why did Jesus tell the disciples, wait until you are endued with power? Wait, you receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. Wait, not many days hence. Say you shall receive the power of the Holy Ghost upon you and you shall be my witnesses. And then I will say, these people already know that you died. They already know that you resurrected. What else do they need to be a witness? It's just to tell people now, are you saying that at that point Peter could not say Jesus died and rose again? He could say it. The others could say it. But there was a difference that the Holy Spirit would bring in them. The proof of his resurrection. The proof, it was not just going to be by words. They were not just going to be saying Jesus died and rose again. Rather, their physical appearance, their conduct, their actions was going to speak on its own that yes, these men have the Spirit. These men have something different. The proof. The proof. Paul will say, you take your share, my son Timothy, be a partaker of the gospel by the power of God. By the power of God. So we minister the gospel with power. With power. With power. All over Acts. It's now there's just this consciousness that just dwindles and it's no more, we don't see it anymore as an accompanying part of the message. We now see it as special miracle services or special healing services, whereas it's not supposed to be. The gifts of the Spirit are supposed to flow with the message. God accompanying them, confirming their words with signs and wonders following. So that consciousness must come up again. Praise the Lord. Is that renewed in you? Our spirits, our gifts, our spirit and our gifts. We have the Spirit, we have the abilities, we have the power, and we will show it forth. Praise the Lord. Are we ready? We'll do so. Hallelujah. Okay, thank you, Pastor. This is the Edifying Assembly.